This season, the Tottenham Way is sponsored by Harry's, and Harry's are the US shaving company hoping to make a big impact in the UK. And if you go to harrys.com/Tottenham, you can get your trial set for £3.95. That is usually worth £11.95. For that £3.95, you will get some shaving foam, a razor with five blades, a travel cover, and a handle in a colour of your choice. My handle is orange, Dan. What colour is yours?
That's quite racy. Mine's grey.
Grey. That's a bit bleak, but there is another third colour available. We don't know what that is, but do check it out. Go to harrys.com/Tottenham. Get your trial set for £3.95. Dan and I have both got it, and we both love it because it gives you the choice of when you would like to receive your blades. Thanks very much for listening, and enjoy the pod. Hello, Dan.
Hello, Tom.
How are you?
Very well.
Good.
Very formal start to the podcast this week.
Yeah, no, sorry. Have you thawed out from Southampton?
It just about.
Looked cold, mate.
Like, it was worse.
Really cold.
It was worse in London, I think. I left London in snow and got to Southampton in just grey rain. So it was a mild improvement.
Last week, when we said goodbye to Jack, who's our guest, I was asking you what train you were getting down there because he was attending the game as well. And you very, very confidently said that you were going to get a later train.
Correct.
Going to get into Southampton something like 2:30.
Yes.
About an hour and a half before kickoff. And I know that the stadium's a good 20 minutes away from the station, I would say. So you were looking at an hour beforehand, so just in time for teams announcing.
Nice.
Was that confidence misplaced?
I wouldn't say misplaced, Tom. I mean, I did stroll into St Mary's at about 2:45 in the end. Or I strolled into the press box about 2:45, having wolfed down some gnocchi in the press room. It didn't quite go to plan. I got to Waterloo, and the train that I had been planning to catch, which the internet had said existed, didn't exist.
Right.
So I don't understand why the trainline.com said there was a 12:30 fast train to Southampton.
Okay.
And there wasn't. So I just got there, and then is there a 12:30 Southampton? He's like, nah, mate, 12:54. Is that all right? And I was like, well, it's got to be all right.
Yeah.
Because it's 12:25 now.
That's annoying.
Yeah, it was annoying. It was fine. Got there. Should have got a taxi. My biggest mistake was, this is cracking content, by the way.
This
is absolutely
gold.
Yeah,
it was a horrible
game. We should be charging for this.
Yeah,
my biggest mistake was getting on the sort of fan bus, which is waiting at the station, the other end. Should have got a taxi.
Mm. Anyone recognise you on the bus?
I mean, it was mainly Saints fans.
Oh, I see.
In fact, I suppose it wasn't, actually, because a lot of people got off the train from London. It was a good mix, but no one recognised me.
When I went to Southampton away, I walked, because I used to live in Southampton. I went to university in Southampton.
Jesters?
Yes, Jumping Jacks, Unit 22. And I...
Never actually been there, just people tell me about it.
Pretty grim.
I just remembered it.
Pretty grim. No, I didn't like it anyway, but...
I think the equivalent in Newcastle, where I went to uni, was Flynn's, Trebles Bar.
Flynn's.
On the Quayside. Three trebles for a fiver.
We had something called Chaos, which was three double vodka Red Bulls for £3.
No.
A can of Castlemaine for 50p. So you could get
£3,
three double vodka Red Bulls.
Oh, doubles.
Yeah, okay. Three double vodka Red Bulls, which isn't bad.
Pound
each, basically. Yeah, good times. I went away, when I went to the away game, I walked from the station thinking, I know the area, I know where the stadium is, I know where the station is, just link the two, be absolutely fine. And I tried every pub on the way there as well, with a group of people that I was very confidently telling beforehand. I know loads of pubs. We can always go down the little... There's a few back streets that we can just find a pint. It's fine. We're not in colours. It's absolutely fine. Not a single pub in that city will let you in. And apparently it's quite notorious. Notoriously bad for away teams.
Why not let you in? Without
just
a match ticket?
Just home fans only. And very full, to be fair. There's a lot, it looked like they're all banged out. But it seemed like, where's the designated away pub? Mm. There always should be at least two designated away pubs.
Right.
So quite poorly done, I think, from Southampton. This was their first year back in the Premier League, so I don't know, maybe they got it a bit got it a bit wrong, underestimated the popularity of it. But
well, I don't know. But I mean, I certainly got it a bit wrong, so yeah. I can't criticise too much.
No, what we can criticise is the performance, unfortunately. Or do we? Because the big story that seems to be coming out of this is there was basically a cold, a virus had been taken.
Yeah, I think it was more serious than a cold. A virus or a flu.
And this is presumably on the back of the trip to Barcelona.
Actually, Poch said it happened before they went to Barcelona.
Right. Okay. How so? Because Kane's been ill over Christmas as well, wasn't he?
Yes, I think Kane. So it's all a bit shady because Poch said after the game, which obviously Eriksen and Lloris missed, they were too ill to play. He said afterwards that there were more players who had suffered from it during the week, but they'd all fully recovered, and everyone who played had fully recovered. And he didn't want to name names, so I'm pretty sure that Son was one of them. Mm. And I read online today that Kane was also ill. I didn't hear that.
Right.
And then there may have been more beyond that. So
and think of the conditions as well.
Yeah, it was like a heavy pitch and torrential rain. It's not the conditions you wanted to be in if you're still feeling it, or even if you've just been ill midweek and you've lost a lot of, you're a bit short of energy and struggling a bit. So it's a bit difficult because I think there were a lot of things in the game from the Spurs' point of view to criticise, and also in Poch's decisions as well to question. But then it's very hard without knowing who was ill, how badly they were ill, and how they were feeling on Sunday. Because I think the obvious one was Sissoko for Eriksen, which everyone was rightly a little bit baffled by. And I thought Lamela would be a more like-for-like replacement, particularly seeing Sissoko seem to just play in the three behind Kane. It wasn't like they'd changed formations and Sissoko was in a deeper midfield role. He was very much up there in the place that Eriksen would often be.
Mm. And Lamela's been back for a good 6 weeks to 10 months.
So why not play? But then if Lamela was one of the players who was ill in the week and didn't really train, then that would make a lot of sense. And obviously Son went off on, I think, about 70 minutes. And it did sound like there were boos from the away end at the decision. Yeah, it was a bit difficult to tell because you never quite know. You know, if they've seen something else that I can't see from the press box, and I haven't seen the highlights back or anything like that. But it definitely did seem like that decision was booed by some sections of the away end. But then, you know, knowing as I do that Son was ill now, it makes a lot of sense that he couldn't have played 90 minutes.
Yeah, he was. He didn't even get it at all.
Presumably, Sissoko wasn't ill.
Yeah,
so.
I questioned it at the time. I didn't know the full extent. As far as I knew, Eriksen was ill, Lloris was ill.
Yeah, and it may well be just that. Yeah. But Poch seemed to suggest that there were more players.
And Poch said afterwards that it's no excuse, which he's good at, to be fair. He was always. I don't think he's ever come out after a game and really put blame on anything else apart from himself and the players.
Yeah.
And he was very keen to do that, to say people were ill. Won't name names, which again I think is a good decision, because they will be targeted. If you said it was perhaps Ali, or if somebody said it was Sissoko, then there would be no sympathy whatsoever. People would be hoping that he was still on his sick bed, because he's not a popular man. And that is reflected in the reaction to him replacing Eriksen, essentially. But how badly do you think he actually played? And how much do you think is maybe a... I'll let someone else ask the question. So Andy Perry, 79, on Twitter. Do you think Sissoko is being scapegoated, or are his performances a real concern and a blind spot to Poch? I guess it extends beyond Southampton, doesn't it? That question.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a bit tricky, because I do think he probably gets... I do think he probably is being scapegoated, in that he is picked out a lot more than other individuals. I mean, if you just took yesterday as an isolated game, there were other players who played worse than Sissoko.
Yeah.
I think, including Ali. I mean, Sissoko was bad, but at least in the last 15 minutes when the game was stretched and Spurs were counter-attacking, he was quite useful. And that is when he is only really useful. When Spurs aren't having all the ball and it's end-to-end and they're counter-attacking, he's quite an effective player in those circumstances, and I think he was reasonably effective in the kind of final 15-10 minutes at St Mary's. But I mean, obviously it is a wider problem and not one in isolation, and I do think it's fair to say that he's just not quite good enough for Spurs, and it does seem a bit strange that he keeps getting picked.
I guess we've got to make our money back on him in some way.
Yeah, I mean,
if there's an opportunity for him to play, but then he is featured in all of our league games this season. Yeah. Every single
is that
league
right?
game, yeah, he's featured. If it's not right now, then he's missed one, because I remember that stat being said. So who was our last game before Southampton in the league? We played West Ham, then we beat somebody. Everton.
Yeah.
And he came on against Everton. Yeah, I'm positive he is featured in every game this season. He's played more than anyone else.
I mean, to the naked eye, he just doesn't look good enough on the ball to play in a Pochettino team, especially given the way we're trying to play. But I do wonder whether, you know, maybe there's something like they crunched the numbers and he's making 25 times more interceptions than anyone else in the team. Or I actually looked at the ground covered on Sunday via Opta, and he was fourth, so not bad. But actually, Ericsson, who he replaced, is always first, more or less. It's either Ericsson or Ali every single week. And Sissoko, I think, covered about nearly 11 kilometres. Ericsson often covers nearly 13. So,
and look, yeah, I could go out there and run 10 kilometres without touching the ball and come second.
Well, I know. I'm speaking out loud, trying to make sense of it myself.
Yeah.
I do think it's not so much a blind spot where Pochettino is concerned, but there's definitely something that we're not quite seeing, and whether it's an ego thing, whether Pochettino wants to make a player of Sissoko and really get him into form, I just don't know. But I don't think it's his price tag, because Poch didn't have a big problem with kind of binning off Soldado, who costs a similar amount. And
true, it wasn't under his watch though, was it?
No.
It was under a previous, and he's very much all about cleansing the club before he could build it in his image. And Sissoko was not his first choice, clearly and evidently, but it does seem like if it's under his watch, he's got to try and get something out of it. Has he ever binned off anyone else that he's spent any significant money on? I mean, I suppose we haven't really had that many examples, but
we haven't spent significant money on that many players. He has binned off players that have signed under him, though, I think. Stambouli, being one that springs to mind, but
Janssen,
In fact, Janssen cost a significant amount of money, so there you go, he got 17 million. It feels like Sissoko is really not good enough, and while certainly for that kind of game, and while I think he can be effective in games where Spurs aren't really going to have too much of the ball, and then. And it might be a really stretch game and a counter attack. And he's come on a few times this year toward the end of matches and been quite good because there's space and it's end to end. But I think, you know, especially replacing Eriksen, who's obviously the guy that sets the tempo, controls the pace of the game, and also creates the most chances, picks the passes. And Lamela isn't like for like exactly, but he's the closest thing to that, I think, in terms of providing energy, setting the tempo, covering ground, and an ability to play a through ball.
Yeah, we didn't look like we were doing our typical thing of trying to unlock the door against a bad team. It looked like we were just trying to batter it down a little bit. There was no subtlety or creativity. Which is it a problem that if you take one player out, that immediately is taken out of your team, and there's no sign of it coming back? Do you see what I mean?
I see what you mean.
Is it a problem that perhaps Son, Ali, even Kane to a point can't take on that mantle a little bit? Or have they got to change? Is it too much to ask for them to change their role to try and do that? Or was the team good enough to win? Because I think it was. But.
Yeah, I think it was good enough to win. Obviously, Eriksen's really important, and that was the first league game he's missed. So he's almost a player that you have to take out of the team to see his importance, I think. And we saw how important he was on Sunday, because it all just seems so much slower, as you said, so much blunter, so much less kind of well-oiled. Everything just didn't seem to work and the same way it does when he's in the team. But then I also think there were kind of bigger problems than just Eriksen. It was another sloppy, slow start. It took going behind to kick Spurs into gear. And that Saints goal was really coming.
Yeah.
Like, they'd already got 2-1 against Aurier down that flank a few times. And there were people saying, well, you know, Eriksen would have tracked back and helped him out, and Sissoko didn't, etc., etc. But I'm not sure that was, you know, that was. I think that was more on kind of Dier and Dembele to be helping out the fullback in that position.
Yeah.
But Aurier, who looked like he was having an absolute shocker, not helped by a really hilariously crap foul throw.
Yeah. One ago.
The kind of thing you do in Sunday League where it just slips out of your hands. And you're like, oh, sorry. But he obviously he looked like he had a shocker, but actually didn't have much help. And for their goal, he had no chance. Like, Bertram was just sprinting up. He was 2-1.
He got injured, didn't he, in the end?
Aurier did, yeah.
Is it Achilles or something? Cause he looked
I
like
actually
he was
don't know what happened there.
Okay. That's a bit of a worry, considering how much better we have looked with a little for that bit of pace down.
It is a bit of a worry, yeah. Perez was asked about it afterwards. He didn't say anything. So okay. I don't know.
Fair enough. We obviously have to look at all of this with that caveat of the illness in the squad. And part of that is the late subs. But Poch is kind of known, or it's starting to become a bit of a thing now, that Poch makes late substitutions and doesn't change things early enough, or it perceived to not change things early enough. And in this one, Lamela came on 70 minutes, Trippier, obviously that was more necessity. And Wanyama came on 85, which I really didn't understand, mostly because we've got Llorente on the bench. And if we bought Llorente, if not for that, then for what? Have we got that man on the bench for?
To
not go away to a team in the bottom three in the last 5 minutes when your squad may be a bit stretched and you're struggling, what have we got him there for?
I agree. It does seem, again, it just seems baffling. And again, you wonder whether Llorente wasn't fit or wasn't well, because if not, surely he would have come on.
Mm.
But if he was fit and well, then it's quite a damning indictment of Poch's kind of faith in his ability to get a goal.
And a bit damning of Poch, in my opinion. Like, if you're... Okay, you may not rate the guy, but if you go two up top in the last few minutes, it's an aggressive substitution that can change a mentality, can change... We've seen shit players come on for the last 5 minutes of games before. And Liverpool used to stick Stephen Caulker on up front. And I know it's a bad example.
Yeah.
But it's someone to occupy a defence. It's someone to free up Kane and Ali and Eriksen.
I agree with what you're saying.
And I don't care how badly you can look at someone and think you are not working. You've got to utilise him. And even if he was unwell, 5 minutes and the choice.
But if he wasn't well enough for 5 or 10 minutes, then he shouldn't have been on the bench in the first place. But actually, there was no one else. So I think either way, it looks bad. Either Poch doesn't have faith in him to come on for 10 minutes, or he doesn't have anyone else he can put on the bench who he has faith on him to come on for 10 minutes.
Mm.
So that either means he doesn't trust the player or he doesn't trust the squad.
Yeah.
So it doesn't look good, and you know the only thing I was thinking was I wonder if the AFC Wimbledon game was in his head. You know, when Llorente actually ended up doing the opposite of occupying the defenders, he kind of occupied the space that Kane was finding, and then as soon as he went off, Kane scored two goals. So I wonder whether he feels that playing them together, obviously you can't take off Kane, it goes without saying, it would be absolutely mad. So I wonder if he feels that, you know, Llorente is useful, but only when Kane's not playing. But I mean, just how often is that? But, you know, possibly at Newport next week, he might give Kane a rest ahead of United. But, you know, it's a scant number of games.
Yeah, it's very... I think it's a bit concerning. I don't think of Llorente. Llorente has got a quality, a couple of qualities, but one main quality, which is where his only league goal for us has come from, which is getting it in the box. No, it's offside against Swansea, but get it in the box.
It's a good header.
Good header, yeah. And it just feels like if you can't see any value in sticking him on for 5-10 minutes, then that feels like your problem a bit on Poch, not on Llorente.
Yeah.
Last season I could have said, yeah, maybe Janssen is just simply not good enough and not showing enough for Poch to say, go and get yourself. But even he was being brought on for the last 10 minutes of games at times. You remember Swansea last season? He came on when we were 1-0 down in the last 10 minutes and stuff, and it just...
And changed the game.
He did. He helped to shape, and I don't know, it annoys me a little bit. And it's this Poch has got this... For all the good,
I mean, he's got a lot of faith in letting the starting 11 do the job.
Yeah,
but yeah, certainly. I mean, it was pretty obvious at half time that the Sissoko gamble hadn't, well, if you can call it a gamble, because he's doing it every week, but that Sissoko wasn't working, and it wasn't really working for Eriksen. So, you know, at that point, a brave move would have been to give Lamella the whole second half.
Mm.
And I know that there are people that don't rate Lamella, and I'm not saying he's the answer to everything, but yeah, I'm saying he's more similar to Eriksen, and he would have enabled Spurs a bit more familiarity than they had.
Yeah, I totally agree.
And it is a funny one, because in the presser before the game, Poch's message about young players, because obviously Edwards and Carter Vickers went on loan this week, was, you know, it's never been harder for a young player to break in at Spurs, and we've got a very strong squad and a very strong bench. But actually, you know, behind, as soon as Eriksen's out, you suddenly realise that there aren't many players competing for those positions behind Kane, and actually there's a sort of dearth of competition there. I do think Spurs need a new player there.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, this month,
if only there was a young English player that was available from a team that was looking to sell them, that we could have sewn that up, possibly even in the summer, maybe, but certainly in the winter. If only there was somebody that was available that we could have got. Anyway, you mentioned Ali there. Ali was dross, I thought. I thought that was in a mixed season. I've been critical and defensive of Ali, I think. I think there's been that you can caveat his under par season a little bit, but he was really, really bad against Southampton. I thought there was a couple of moments where just passing it, just making a 5-10 yard pass, and it looks like it's not that he doesn't see it, it's that he sees it and chooses not to make the pass. That's what's frustrating. There was one moment in the second half where he literally ran in a circle around the penalty area without passing to, I think it was Dembele, who was on the edge of the box. And it adds nothing. It just gets more and more frustrating, and he loses the ball.
Shocker.
Mm.
And I don't think he was the only one guilty of being slow either. I think Dembele and Son and Sissoko at times held onto the ball for far too long when there was a pass on. In the final third, it just all looked so laboured and kind of sluggish. And again, I just wonder, you know, is him not being in the places that he always is, did it sort of confuse them and put them out of their stride? But yeah, I did think Ali was poor, and again, there's the caveat, you know, was he ill? Was he asked to play? Was he 50%? I don't know.
Are we ill? We're really late. Yeah.
I think that...
We've actually slumped about 3 foot down in our chair talking about this game.
It has taken it out of me. Well, it's just a bit tricky to I'm sorry, listeners. It's just tricky to try and be sort of upbeat about it, because it does seem a bit.
Should we go back to talking about train times? Do you think?
Oh, we could do.
Could do.
Yeah. Although the Sunday service does make me more depressed than Southampton results. So
all right. We'll stick with Southampton.
But yeah, I think. Yeah, Ali, it wasn't good for Ali, and I'd play him next week against Newport, play him in a bit of form.
Yeah.
Yeah, try and get him a goal.
He's done that a couple of times this season, Poch, in the cups. Mm. Ali's played, I think he's played every cup game so far. He's certainly played in the West Ham game when we went out in the League Cup.
Yeah, well, he was suspended for 3 Champions League games, wasn't he? So
true.
He's got
money in the bank.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm. You said last week that this really feels like a vital game, or it felt like a vital game, because we need to keep pace, and we're ahead of a really busy and quite daunting February and start of March. We needed to keep pace with the top four, and we've not done that, and it looks like that the closest we're going to be after Liverpool plays Swansea tonight is 5 points, because they're almost certainly going to smash them to pieces. Do you think it's done?
No, it's not done. Obviously not. It's not even February yet. But I think, obviously, it could be done after the next 3 days.
Yeah.
It could be done in 3 weeks. Yeah, I suppose they really did need to win that. But yeah, I also kind of feel like, you know, these games could be a good thing, because mood changes very quickly. And Spurs have been really good in the big games. You know, Chelsea aside, which is the first game at Wembley in the league, Spurs have been really good in the big games at Wembley. And it'll be a full house against United. It'll be, you know, a night game Wednesday night, and players, you know, have got to be up for it. The fans will be up for it. Sanchez will probably be playing for United, and there's an extra edge there, being the ex-Arsenal player. And it feels like one, you know, it could be a real gem of a game. And Poch's record against Mourinho is really bad. But
is it?
It's pretty bad, yeah. I don't think he's beaten Mourinho for...
Yes, he has for Spurs. He's beaten him twice. 5-3 against Chelsea in the last game of last season. The one at Old Trafford.
You're absolutely right.
Well, yeah. Last one. Why,
is it, okay, am I thinking of his record
at Mourinho?
At Mourinho. Right. It's kind of three consecutive...
Something like that. Yeah, at Old Trafford.
Okay,
Old Trafford. 3 years in a row.
Yeah, I'll take it back. So yeah, I mean, what it can change really quickly, but it does feel like those. Yeah, having said that, Liverpool does seem a daunting old trip, and that Poch record at Anfield is, I think I can safely say, quite bad.
Yeah,
atrocious. Spurs could easily be kind of 7, 8, 9 points adrift with 11 games left or something, and at that stage of the season, it's, you know, almost not, I wouldn't say impossible, but it's very, very difficult to claw back that kind of deficit. So I do think really need, you know, looking at kind of 6 points minimum from these games.
Yeah,
really, you want to win the home ones, and
but we could also be in a quarter final of Champions League by the end of
I think it's exciting.
Well, I think that's a good. I think it's a good place to segue.
So oh, yeah.
He's an old favourite into Newport, which is at the weekend. So let's say we beat Newport. Let's, fingers crossed. We don't want to be sitting here next week, even worse and even more slumped in our chairs. Let's say we beat Newport, and let's say a month before the next game, the next round, say. We are 11 points behind the fourth or something like that, or close to. Does that put new emphasis on the FA Cup, considering how Poch has approached it previously, considering we're still in the Champions League? Does he look at it and say, because he's one of those stubborn coaches that is very much, you know, it's not over, it's still mathematically possible, the league's the bread and butter sort of thing, but... It has to come time where you're realistic. Is it could be a blessing in disguise, perhaps, to sort of get through Newport if we are struggling in the league, just to go, all right, let's really have a go at this FA Cup. If we're going to come fifth, then let's go into the new stadium with a trophy.
Yeah, I mean, they keep talking about winning a trophy, all the players and Poch. So I do think it's one of the aims of this season. And yeah, obviously, if the top four is looking less and less likely, I think he will put more emphasis on it. And I think about 2 months ago he was asked, you know, well when the Juve draw was made, it's more like a month ago, he was asked, you know, would there come a time when you might prioritise the Champions League over the league? And he didn't rule that out, you know, so there could be a scenario if Spurs beat Juve and get through but don't beat, you know, United, Liverpool, Arsenal, etc., where he's resting players in the league and really going for it in the Champions League. So I think Pochettino genuinely believes Spurs can win the Champions League. And he'll genuinely... And his attitude toward the FA Cup isn't... I think sometimes it's been used as a real stick to beat him with, but I think, you know, if you want to spin it as a positive, you can say, well, it's
because he genuinely thinks Spurs are good enough to win the league and Champions League. He genuinely believes that. And, you know, with that in mind, he's simply saying, you know, these are the competitions we go for. These are the most important competitions that everyone wants to win. And after that, you know, when it's not possible, of course we want to win the FA Cup and the League Cup. So, yeah, I think you'd like to think Spurs will beat Newport.
Mm-hmm. Do you know anything about Newport?
Justin Ellenborough, Newport legend and Spurs legend.
You, what, player or manager?
I think he managed Newport for about 4 years.
Okay.
And kept them up 1 year. I don't know. They had like a famous European run in the early 80s. They won the Welsh Cup and got into the Cup Winners' Cup. I know this.
Really?
And they were one game away from, I think, a quarter final against Benfica.
Okay.
And it was quite a legendary run, and they actually lost over two legs very narrowly to the eventual winners. So they've got a bit of history, yeah.
And pedigree.
Pedigree, yeah. And they beat, and John Aldridge was a player from then, obviously the former Liverpool striker, also Oxford United striker,
okay.
Formerly. So, you know, so it's not, you know, the biggest game ever in their history, but it's definitely a big game. I also think they beat West Ham in an FA Cup third round when they were in the fourth tier.
Okay.
West Ham were in the top tier, which is quite funny, obviously.
Mm.
So, yeah, it's not the absolute biggest game in their history, but I did read today that the fans have been queuing for kind of 5 or 6 hours to get tickets. So it's obviously a massive occasion for them, and they're putting up temporary stands around the stadium. It'll be about 10,000 seats.
Easily a record for them.
Yeah, easily a record for a football game at Rodney Parade. I think, yeah, it's a great cup tie, and they're the story, and I think it's good for everyone, really.
Evening kickoff as well, isn't it? We're on TV.
Yeah, I think it's 5:30.
Yeah, live game for them. So
yeah, I was very much considering a night out in Cardiff afterwards.
Really?
There's a few of the Journo lads are doing the. I think City are playing in Cardiff.
Oh, right.
Quite a few of them are doubling up, and it might be. It was a potentially good opportunity for Cardiff City Centre on a Saturday night. Sounds quite large.
Yeah.
Although, no, unfortunately, I've got an Australian Open shift next morning, so. Well, alas.
That's adulthood. I know. Can't go out on the lash anymore.
I know.
Because you're covering a major sporting event halfway across the world.
Correct.
Do we think. So, we talked about maybe a new emphasis for Pochettino. Does that suggest a strong team? But we have got United 3 or 4 days later, so. Look, is it going to be similar to Wimbledon?
I think it'll be pretty similar to Wimbledon, yeah.
They're talking about Toby being fit.
Toby might be fit, yeah.
Fit enough, but you can't imagine him. Can you imagine him playing with a game 3-4 days later? If you're going to play him in either of them, you're more likely to play him.
Yeah, but that's the thing. I mean, I think either way, you know, you kind of don't want United to be his first game back, though, do you? At the same time.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
It'd be an interesting one with Toby. I could see him. I can imagine him playing at Newport, not playing at United.
And then playing
against Liverpool.
Yeah.
But it's a big call for Poch, because I think the only game he's dropped Sanchez for was United at Old Trafford, which really surprised everyone at the time. And I think some people thought it might be something to do with Mourinho targeting him.
Yeah, I remember from the.
So whether that comes into play and he decides to hold on to Alvarez for United. I don't know.
But yeah, it'd be interesting. It's so good to think of him coming back, though, isn't it? Because we're not bad defensively.
It is good, yeah.
If you look at how we started against Southampton, all right, that can happen, and that can happen to any team. Any Premier League team can ruffle the feathers of another Premier League team, no matter how good they are in defence, and they can look shaky. But I just think you ride that storm a lot easier if you've got Toby there, and you... maybe don't concede that first goal as well.
I know what you mean.
So,
I think Spurs kind of. I agree that while any team can do that to anyone else, of course, but I think it was sloppiness and it was a slow start and it wasn't. It seems to be a familiar failing this season, really.
Yeah.
I don't know whether. You know, Toby coming back would have been a bit of a leader, or at least a leader by example, whether it would have made any difference, but. It's the same with Ericsson, really. Spurs have started slowly with Ericsson in the team. They've conceded sloppy goals early. You know, West Brom springs to mind with Ericsson in the team. So it's not as if everything would be fixed by saying, no, hey, this guy's back and this guy's fit.
True. Certainly couldn't hurt, though. Mm.
Agree. Yeah, I think
with Toby, we get something like, we average 2.5 points a game. Without him, it's something like 1.5.
Okay.
And it's that's a significant difference over the course of the season. And it's now two seasons in a row that you could argue that that's cost us a little bit.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so we should be smashing them. But
yeah,
I think it's quite looking forward to it in a way. It's just to, there will be an occasion.
I'm looking forward
about
to it. Yeah, it'll feel like a proper cup tie. As I said, good for both teams. It's a kind of shame there's not. It's a kind of shame there's not more young players, and I almost think that's a debate for another time, really. But you know, obviously Edwards is gone, Carter Vickers is gone. So even that old Nkudu's gone.
Carter Vickers has gone to Ipswich, isn't it?
Yeah, I think the apparently Sheffield United boss said he couldn't really guarantee him first team football because they signed a new centre-back in January.
So it was a sensible decision, do you think?
Yeah, I think Carter Vickers. Sensible, yeah. I mean, he is pushing 20. I think he's 20 now, so I do worry for him. You know, if he's not getting in Sheffield United's team, then you know, is he going to have any chance of getting in Tottenham's team? I think he's a good player. I'm just not sure he's got quite enough about him to make it at Spurs, but we'll see.
Yeah, I've never seen that much from him. I've seen him playing a few games. I would never be able to make a decision or a judgment on him apart from saying that he's got legs the size of trees.
They are big.
It is ridiculous. Mm. And it actually makes him look shorter, even though I think he's about 6 foot.
Yeah, he's about 6 foot.
Incredible. Got a few questions. Oh, no, actually, let's do some transfer talk. We did some last week, but since then, the Malcolm stuff seems to have gathered a little bit of pace. Yeah. Loads of rumours around. So,
although,
if let's go through them in order. Well, first of all, it was we beat Arsenal to the signing of him because we impressed him and his agent or his people with the project more than Arsenal did. So his preference was to come to Spurs. Then it was, we've signed him, but we're loaning him back and he'll be there in the summer. Then it was, we've signed him and it's as good as done. He's done his medical and he'll be joining us. So there's been three tiers of this.
Yeah.
From rumour to as good as done, as good as he's got his shirt number. Yeah. What do you know about it, I suppose? And what do you know about Malcolm in general? Because I know nothing.
Well, not a great deal is the answer to
he's
both.
Bordeaux's, I think, top scorer, is that right?
Yeah, I think he is Bordeaux's top scorer. Look, I think there is definitely interest from what I've heard, but I think all three scenarios at this stage that you've just suggested are a bit far-fetched still.
Okay.
Or at least they certainly were at the end of last week. So I don't know if there's been anything over the weekend, but Bordeaux have appointed Poyet as manager.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Gus Poyet is the new manager. And he came out today, I think it was kind of his first presser, and said that one of the conditions of him joining was Malcolm wouldn't be leaving this month.
Okay.
Because they're in a relegation fight and he is scoring most of their goals.
Mm.
So I think Poyet has made it pretty clear that he's not going. I think the noises at the end of last week were that there was interest, he could potentially join, but it would be a deal for next summer, so it would be a kind of Ali type deal.
Yeah.
So get the signing done, announce it, etc., and you know, either just say like Liverpool did with Keita that he will join up with the club in July 2018, or loan him back, like Ali was. So yeah. I think that there's definitely interest, and we'll just have to wait and see. Really, I do think Spurs, as I've said, need another option behind the striker.
Get Mahrez, in my opinion. But
yeah, it would be nice, wouldn't it?
Would be more than nice. It would genuinely make all the difference. But I can't make these decisions, Dan, which is a shame. For everyone concerned, to be honest, all Spurs fans. I think I'd make a good chairman. We wouldn't have a stadium by now.
No.
But we'd still have Bale. A very unhappy and angry Bale who's not training. He'd still be contracted to us. A couple of listener questions. Brett Nurse As we are now terrible, I think this is tongue-in-cheek, as we are now terrible, which of our players do you think are perceived as overrated by fans of other clubs? It's quite funny, isn't it? Because we've had 2 weeks of articles about Son being the most underrated player. Yeah. And then the game after that, that everyone's kind of got eyes on him, he touches the ball about 3 times and gets subbed off on 70 minutes because he's not well.
Yeah.
So he's now slap bang in the middle again, yeah. I think.
So the question is, which players do Spurs fans overrate?
Oh,
is that the question?
No, fans of other clubs.
Oh, which players do fans of other clubs overrate?
For Spurs.
For Spurs. Okay.
No. Sorry. Yes. Sorry. Who do Spurs fans overrate in the eyes of other clubs fans?
Okay. In the eyes.
See, I think Ali's starting to move into. I don't think he's overrated necessarily. I think he's excellent, but I think other fans would look at something like Sunday's performance from Ali and genuinely wonder what all the fuss is about. Because with Kane, if he has a quiet game, doesn't score perhaps, there's always something with Kane. Right, he's two or 3 years older, but for how much Ali's done in the last 2 seasons, I think you'd be, if you don't watch Ali every week, and even us as we do watch him every week are struggling with him a little bit at the moment. Sort of got a good glimpse into how other clubs fans feel about Ali when he's pissing them off, when he's not playing well for Spurs, because it pisses me off and I want to kill him, which is what Burnley and all of these other village teams want to do to him.
Yeah, I'm going to go with, I think Eriksen and Lloris probably. I mean, the most texts I'll get from my mates who aren't Spurs fans, or the most arguments I'll get into, well, I'll give you an example. When Coutinho went to Barcelona, I argued that Eriksen was in the same bracket as Coutinho, which I believe he is.
Yeah,
I think he's on that level. I think Coutinho is more of a highlights player than Eriksen, though.
Mm.
And actually, I think that's part of the reason. I think Barca know that. Mm. I think it pays to have a highlights player.
True.
I'm not saying he's any worse or any more effective over 90 minutes, but I'm saying he clips up better than Eriksen does. And clips, sell, and all these people around the world are like, yes, I'll have that shirt because I've seen a great clip on YouTube. Whatever.
That's why Morten Gamps Pedersen's got shirts all over the world.
Yeah, exactly. So I would argue with them that Eriksen's as good, but they just don't see it and they say, I've watched loads of games and he drifts in and out, which basically means they've watched loads of games on Match of the Day when you get 7 or 8 minutes of highlights.
Yeah.
And then I also get quite a few texts whenever Lloris makes mistakes saying, just don't know what Spurs fans see in Lloris. He's always good for a mistake every 3 or 4 weeks.
Probably a few Spurs fans are going to go along.
He's having a slightly patchy season, but he's still, he definitely is still one of the best goalkeepers in the Premier League.
Mm.
So I would pick those two. But I think, unless you are watching a player every week, you know, it's the same. I will go to Liverpool fan mates and say, Coutinho, whatever, he's not worth that money. And now they'll be, no, you don't understand. You know, he definitely is worth that money. Or even someone slightly village like, I'd say even like Jordan Henderson, they've defended to the hilt, or Emre Can or something. I've said, would he get in the City team? Whatever. Yeah, of course he would. So it works both ways, doesn't it?
Yeah, of course. I think the player that's most underrated in our team at the moment is Vertonghen.
I'm amazed that nobody's
talking about him, because he is having a hell of an 18 months, actually. I think this extends well into last season. He is being, if it wasn't for him, Toby's injuries.
Just the kind of norm now, isn't it?
Yeah.
And
he's turning into a leader as well, I think. I think he's steadying the ship a little bit.
I think he's always been a bit more of a presence as well, isn't he?
He seems like everyone else is really, even Sanchez is obviously brand new and he's, you can forgive slight slips from Sanchez. I don't think that Sunday was an error. I think he was quite unlucky.
He could never do that again if he tried 100 times.
So
toed it from an angle in off the post.
Yeah, and if he didn't try for it, then he didn't really know what's behind him. So I think he was unlucky. But he's going to make these mistakes. He's 22. But Ben Davies and Rose have been sharing left back, and we've gone from three at the back to two at the back a few times from through necessity. But Vertonghen's always been there, and I'm just amazed that no one's talking about him for like player for team of the season. I know it's very early, but you do get these things, don't you? Like he's people always talk about Azpilicueta and stuff. He's obviously a really good player.
Yeah.
He seems to be the go-to for kind of underrated or perhaps unnoticed excellent player. Particularly his defence is difficult.
Yeah, well, I do. Given the job I do wonder whether those kind of things sort of come from the club and come from Poch. And it's weird. Poch is quite happy to big up some players, and he prefers not to big up other players. I don't think it's a favouritism thing or anything like that. It's just the way he works, and obviously what he knows about their character, I suppose. And for instance, he is normally very, very happy to talk up Ali. And he's obviously always happy to talk up Kane, but he would tend to be a bit more reserved about Son if he's kind of had a. In fact, I would say he's the same about Ali as well. He would tend to say something like, "Oh yeah, every player's important," when you ask about certain players, and actually give an answer when you ask about others. I think Ali falls somewhere in between. It depends. Right. Depends. How Ali's doing, he can either big him up or be very very cagey. But Vertonghen's one of those players that I think just Poch just really appreciates him, but he's just happy to let him get on with the job he's doing and doesn't feel the need to kind of talk him up a lot.
No.
Whereas probably certainly Mourinho, when he was at Chelsea, said he would have a whole team of Azpilicuetas, and I think Conte's talked him up, and I think those things resonate. And if Poch was coming out most weeks saying, "Oh, I wish we had a whole team of Jan Vertonghens," then just maybe more.
I genuinely don't think he'd give a shit either, would he, Vertonghen?
No. I'm not saying it's.
What you're saying is laced with any hidden meaning or extra meaning. I really don't think he. I don't think he does it for that. I think he's so switched on now and knows his job and probably knows that this is maybe the highest level he's likely to play at for the rest of his career. He's 30 now, isn't he? So. Unless he gets one last offer, which is not beyond all reasoning, I think he's here now to stay until we cut him off.
I think he said he'd like to go back to Ajax or Holland to retire.
Okay, and which is fair enough. But I think he's been a really good servant, and I just don't think he needs that constant bigging up and confidence. I think he's got that already. I think he's always been a fairly confident guy. Yes, all right. Last question from Keith Wickle? Sorry, Keith, if I've got that wrong. Do you feel like other clubs are nearly as mysterious about injuries, illness and player performance as Spurs? I think player performance is... Probably don't need to go into that too much, but injuries and illness is certainly something that has interested a lot of fans.
I assume he's referring to, like, Poch, right? Or the official club statements.
We get a lot of... The running joke is, if you're back in training, right, we'll see you in 2019.
With
Rose and Toby. And this all stemmed from that first season when... The first title challenge season. And I can't remember who got injured, but it just seemed like it was constantly, he's a week away.
Wasn't it Alderweireld last season?
Yeah, I think it was.
I think it was like that mystery kind of nerve injury. I mean, what I can say is that Poch, since around about that time, late last season, doesn't like talking about injuries at press conferences. Because I think he feels like he'll obviously say when a player's back in training or how a player's, how they are mentally, he'll say, so-and-so's in good spirits, he'll say if he's having a scan, that kind of thing. But he doesn't like to sort of go into a bit more detail, because I think he reasons fairly that he's not a doctor, he's not involved, and he's also not articulate enough in English to kind of make it clear, and mistakes can happen. But then I also think it stems from the Alderweireld injury, when he was constantly being asked for a time frame, and he constantly thought, I think sincerely, that it was going to be a week or two, and it kept being delayed. And yeah, I think the club's obviously in tune with what people are saying, and it was probably fed back to him that that it wasn't going down very well. Yeah. So they don't put time frames on injuries and they don't talk in detail about them. And if they do, it's Perez, not Poch, because he's obviously has daily medical briefings. Mm. He's the link between Pochettino and the sports scientists and the medical team, and he'll be the one to say, this is the situation. So I think Spurs are a bit cagey on it, but I can understand why. Although sometimes it's a bit frustrating because you feel like it would be helpful to have more info.
Yeah, as a fan, it's the frustration doesn't come from. Okay, there's a level of frustration in. This is one of our best players. We need our best players in the team, and it's annoying to have them injured, not the length of time of injury, because if you had a decent backup, which we probably have for 80% of the first team, you'd say, Davis is a good backup for Rose, and Dyer is a good backup for Toby, for example. Mm. Not perfect, but good. But that level of frustration is that, but then it is how stretched our squad gets. And we saw on Sunday, it doesn't take much for our squad to suddenly look like weak and thin and just not balanced and not suitable for the challenge ahead. Not a huge criticism, but I just think that's maybe where the frustration comes from and why we've become a bit of a meme for it and why that has become a little bit of a meme. Do you know what I mean? Like it would be fine if... So basically, I think the club is probably no better or worse than other clubs at injuries necessarily. It's just that we're cagey about them because of for various reasons that you've laid out there. And the problem is that the backups aren't good enough and we don't like seeing the backups when the first team aren't available.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
So I don't think it's the injuries that are the problem. It's what comes after that. Wanyama being injured for so long was horrendous because Wanyama is obviously so important to how we play and Dyer has not been on form. Had Dyer been playing, nobody would be saying week in, week out, for God's sake, where the hell is Wanyama? Dyer wasn't playing particularly well. So I think there's more to it. I don't think it's quite that simple.
I think the club is generally a bit cagey on that front, though. I don't think we're all paranoid.
No.
I think they are cagier than most clubs.
Really?
Yeah, I do. But then, as I've said, I kind of understand why. Mm. Because Pochettino has become the spokesman for the club, which is a good thing. You think back to the Rose interview. What the club said is, Pochettino is going to speak on the club's behalf at the next press conference and address this issue, and that's the way they do a lot of things. So when the spokesman for the club doesn't really feel comfortable talking about medical issues and going into detail, or perhaps there's a confidentiality thing as well, with doctors and patients, and coming out and saying, oh, this person was ill, this person okay. When Poch naturally doesn't feel like doing that, then an element of caginess is going to naturally exist.
Mm.
And I think, I don't know other clubs well enough to compare, but I think, I assume that guys like Allardyce and Hodgson are much more willing to just sort of open up and say, so-and-so is looking at, a month, he's done his menial ligament. Well,
that's a fair point. We don't know, really, do we?
Nah,
really. All right, let's knock this one on the edge. Hopefully, next week. We'll
cheer
be a
up,
little
old
bit,
boys.
Yeah,
might never happen.
Yeah, beat Newport. Going to win the FA Cup.
Yeah. We could wait till after we do a Thursday pod. Beat Newport and Man U.
That's going to be really loud on the edit, I think, but we'll forgive you. Well, very nice to see you, Dan.
And you, mate.
We will be back next week. We'll decide after we've stopped recording when we're going to be doing the Man United one. So thanks for joining us this week, and we'll see you then. Bye-bye.